Hi, I'm Koshin Chris Kane, abbot of the Puget Sound Zen Center on Vashon Island, Washington. We're glad to be able to bring you these podcasts. If you'd like to learn more about our Zen Center, please visit our website at pscc.org. This morning, I'd like to talk about Sangha. And I want to talk about it kind of in two ways. Sangha is critical, I think, for supporting our practice. But it's help that we need. But it's also important for the strength and the difficulty that it gives us. So I want to talk about both sides of that. First of all, the support. We need each other to do this practice in the way that we do it. We can do it by ourselves at home. It's quite possible to do that. But a group, to do it in a group, allows us to do it for longer and to hold each other into account. You know, I'll feel embarrassed if I leave after one sit, so I'll stay. And also, it gives a feeling, a strength. I mean, I felt that this morning with all these people sitting together. I really receive that and appreciate that from everybody. That's a critical part, I think, of Sangha, of the kind of support that it gives us. It also, this Zen center and the Sangha, we create a little culture here, a mini culture, which is different from the regular culture. And that relies on all of us, and also the little strange little rituals that we do, so that when you walk in here, you're oriented in a different way, you're pointed in a different direction than usual. And that really takes a village. It takes a bunch of people working together to make that kind of culture and make it strong, so that when you walk in here, you feel like, okay, it's time to reorient. It's time to orient toward finding Buddha nature and coming back and helping others. That's the basic rhythm of this practice, and it's not easy. That's why we have these institutions and why we have groups of people to help us reorient. I feel like the Sangha really helps with that. It's also that we also have to be open to the culture too, of course, not just apart from it. And that is a work in progress for us and for every other Buddhist group in America or in the West, in the East too, I suppose. We have to both meet culture and we have to stand a little bit apart from it as well and keep a strong counterculture. The Sangha, I feel like, something that's important to me is that the Sangha becomes a strong network. That you, everybody in the Sangha, get to know each other. Not just sit together, but also know each other. Because those bonds, the bonds of mutual affection, will carry us through good times and difficult times. And I feel like, the analogy I've used before is, I used to bake bread. And, in order to, you add the sugar to the yeast and it breathes carbon dioxide. But in order to catch that carbon dioxide, we have to knead the bread. We have to form this gluten net in order to catch it so that the bread rises and becomes strong and delicious. And I feel like we, as a Sangha, have to knead the Sangha so that we form this net, maybe that's Indra's net, you know, to really realize that. So that the practice that we do allows us all to rise. Now I'm stretching the metaphor maybe further than I can. That's about as far as I can go, I think. Oh no, I'll go a little further. We also need a kitchen to do that work in. And the Zen center, I feel like, is that kitchen. And we have to really always pay attention to clean it, to, I don't mean literally, maybe literally too, but also figuratively, to keeping the structures, to paying attention to them, to paying attention to the way we work together, to paying attention to committees and horrible name sounding things like that, so that we can do this work. And then that we really all rise together in that way. We all mature together. It's not enough just to have, you know, the Buddha, a strong, quiet practice, the Dharma. It's not enough to have a teacher or to have to read books. We need this Sangha piece. And I feel like I feel that if we do this well, and I think we will, that a Sangha becomes a group, a net, that can help us through all phases of our life. I hope people in this room, you know, help me die. I hope that I have a Sangha to go through that stage of life with. I hope that we can be a place in which people can, that children can be born and divorces can happen and all manner of life cycle we can go through and help each other. A Sangha is a chance. It's not just for strength. I mean, it's not just for that strength that I talked about. It's also a chance for you and me to help each other, to do our bodhisattva work. And that's a critical part of Zen practice, is not just the receiving of help, not just the receiving of strength, but the giving of it, to have that chance to give help to others. One way we do that is just by doing good practice when we sit together, to chant big as we can, to help each other that way. But there are many other chances that we'll have if we stick with this practice, if we stick with others. And it's important to me that people, that I catch people, or that this Sangha catches people strongly enough that they stick with it during difficult times too. Because we have a lot to learn, and that is also through difficult times. And it's not just the good stuff that Sangha is good for, it's also the bad stuff. And so certainly difficult times in our life, but also difficult times in the Sangha. Let's take an example. So we're sitting here the jiu-jitsu claps, and we've been doing a lot of inside kinhin, and then all of a sudden we go outside. And they thought it wasn't raining maybe, and then it is raining. So we all have to go outside in the rain because the jiu-jitsu is leading us out there. Now, you always have little escape hatches. I mean, you could just hang out in here, go to the bathroom for a long time, or disappear somewhere. But there is this pressure to go with it, to roll with it. I love when those things happen, by the way, because it's a chance to go with it. Because we're not just here to do this to be stuck in our nice little cocoon bubble of zero, of good feeling. We're here to move. This practice is to teach us to move. And so when we get a chance like that, then we get a chance to move, to go with it, to roll with it. And that's just one of the chances we have. And the Sangha will give us lots of those chances to roll with it. Because we sit together with people and somebody breathes too loudly and somebody farts and somebody, you know, we have all these chances to adapt, to be flexible. And that is such a big part of our practice, is the flexibility part. I just don't want us to grow in a way that feels quite calm and quiet, so we know zero, but we're brittle. I don't want that. And one thing that really helps with that is a sangha that has all kinds of different people in it. So one of our practices that I feel strongly about is that we have to be open to all kinds of different people. People who are really good at the Zen thing, who've done it for a long time. People who don't know what they're doing at all. Tall people, short people, people of all backgrounds, rough and smooth. At Mount Baldy Zen Center, where I trained, that this was axiomatic. That we were open for anybody. Didn't matter what your past was. You killed some people in your past, doesn't matter. As long as you can follow the rules here. Now that's kind of a big thing. You know, you have to be able to fit, the Rishi said, you know, in a monastery, you have to be able to fit through the door, the gate. You have to squeeze yourself through the gate. In a temple like we have, he said, there you have to adapt, you have to move the gate. You have to get the gate bigger and smaller depending on the people that come through. But in a monastery, it's one size gate. But if you can squeeze through that gate, you can stay. And if you can follow the rules. So we had lots of, you know, I mean, we were up in a mountain and we had, and I think that's probably true. If you listen, you can tell us stories later about all the criminals and crooks that, you know, that flee to the monasteries. You know, we had one. We had lots of different sorts of folks that came to train during my years of training. You know, one mafia boss son who just drove me. He was really difficult. I mean, he was angry. He was he'd get in some shoving matches, not with me, but it was really difficult for me to adapt to him. And but you know, and it, my teacher would kind of tick me off because he seemed to give him too many chances, and that annoyed me but he was just great. He was so happy to have him. He had all this energy, you know, that he wanted to I think direct. And finally he stole some money from his roommates and took the truck down and had a good time, and then on the way back up rolled the truck, crashed it, and none of that mattered. The Roshi just laughed about that, except the taking money from his roommates. That was the point. At that point, then we had to have a serious. It also turned out that. Then he turned out, because he had to show his license to the policeman, that he was wanted in New York, so he had to go back there. So that was all part of the story too. And then take care of that, and then come back. But those things, those types of people who are not your type of person, have a lot to teach us. I had such a hard time with the head monk, who was such a jerk when I first went there, and he wouldn't give me help in the kitchen, and he had, you know, he was from a very different background, from military and from me, and he always wanted to see the action movies when we were trying to decide on a movie to see together, and I wanted to see the art films. And he bought a big, huge F-350 truck, you know, when he was the head monk. And then I traded it in for a little Tacoma, Toyota Tacoma, when I was the head monk, because that thing was crazy big. And what I realized after a little while was, I'm so sure that I'm right when it came to him. And many times, over time, I realized, no, he's right about that. It took me a while to figure that out. But there were really parts of him that I could not see until I'd widened my view and stopped hating him, which has a narrowing view. And then after he left, he started calling me. He called me every couple of months. And then we got to be very good friends. And still to this day, we have a very nice relationship. Yeah. I think that different personalities, different types of people, and that only happens. Okay, so we have a policy. You can come in the door. But the policy is only a little part of it. The other thing is our hearts. Like, how do we approach somebody who is different from us, who looks like they may have a different background, who may look like they... And we think of ourselves as liberal people, but are we really? Mm-hmm. What is it like when somebody comes in who's all over the place, or who doesn't follow the rules as well as I do? What does that bring up in us? I think that we have to see that, not just react to it, but to see it as our practice, to really feel that is too our practice. That makes the Sangha stronger. It makes us stronger if we can learn to take in other people. And I don't even need to talk about the implications of that on a wider scale. Mm-hmm. But it starts right here in this Sangha. I feel like, and I have always felt, that it is very good if something bad happens to you in the Sangha, within the Sangha. If something bad happens to you under the Zen tent. Many things will happen to you, of course, out there in the world, all kinds of bad things. But it's great if it happens here. If it happens to happen here. If you happen to have a big blow up with somebody within the Sangha. Because... again, the term I've always used for that is, if it happens under the Zen tent, if it happens there, you have a little feeling of responsibility that, oh, I should make this practice in a different way, that I should try to work with this differently. I mean, I hope you do that out in your life too, but it's a sweet opportunity when it happens here, when it happens during a retreat, for instance. Then you really get to work with it. You really get to work with that anger or that disappointment or that frustration, and realize it. And this is something that happened during my training. Realize it as myself. Oh, that's also myself. Fear, that's also myself. Frustration, anger. These are parts of me. And to reconcile ourselves to that. So it's not just about reconciling people who are outside of ourselves, it's also understanding ourselves as larger than we thought. So therefore, I think that, you know, my hope for this Sangha is that it is harmonious, that we have harmony within the Sangha, but that it's not too harmonious. that there are things that happen that you don't like. There are things that happen that I don't like. That's very important. In Japan, there is this image that the monks are stones in a bag. And when you shake the stones, they polish each other. So the term for it is mutual polishing. In Korea, don't they talk about
potatoes?
With potatoes, exactly. So what do they say there?
The dirty potatoes.
Yeah.
Water and stick. We do it all the time.
Yeah. So you know all about those dirty potatoes, you know, rubbing up against each other, cleaning each other by bumping up against each other, polishing each other by, you know, by running into each other. That's the way we develop. That's the way we really mature and develop our practice. So remember that. I'd ask you to remember that when you come into a situation which is difficult and you instinctively want a way out, try to remember to stay in the bag, stay in the pot, and work with it. You know, ask yourself, am I seeing this person properly? Am I seeing the whole person? How can I work with this? Am I seeing, So, Sangha supports us in many different ways. Supports us in the way that it helps us continue our practice, but it also helps us because of the maturing that it helps us do through difficulty. Through difficulty outside, but also through difficulty within the Sangha. It builds both wisdom and compassion, both toward ourselves and towards others. And really, I do think it makes not only our Sangha broader and bigger, but also ourselves broader and bigger. This podcast has been brought to you by the Puget Sound Zen Center. Thanks so much for listening. To learn more about our community, you can visit our website at pszc.org.